We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. It's Steve Alexander. This is the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by Smart Bracket. It's Tuesday, March 19th. I'm Dr. A. Here's Kieran. We'll be back in a minute to cover everything that happened on the first Monday, probably, of your fantasy NBA playoffs. Let's do it. Kieran, thanks for coming back. We had so much fun last Tuesday. We decided to do it again this Tuesday. Your guy, Anthony Edwards, has now, by my count, maybe the three most exciting plays of the year in NBA basketball after he threw down what I like to call the dunk heard around the world last night over Al Horford. Horford left the game with John a Collins. Contusion. Was that
over John Collins?
Oh yeah. Why am I saying Al Horford?
Getting ahead of yourself a little bit.
Yeah, it was John Collins. So he throws this thing down in traffic over John Collins. Collins leaves the game with a head contusion. I couldn't really tell if part of Edwards hit him in the head, if the basketball came through the hoop so fast and hit him in the head that that's what hurt him. But either way, wow, what a dunk.
Absolutely incredible stuff. We talked about it last week. I'm not going to quit until he gets at least some love for MVP. That's Ant. As for the John Collins injury, I'm not sure when he got hit. He might have been hit by like Ant's leg coming through the paint. It also might have been just a case of, you know, like the childhood embarrassment injury where something bad happens and you like go down and you're like, well, maybe this wasn't as bad as I thought it was, but I'm going to stay down for a couple extra minutes because that was gnarly. But what an incredible play, and what an incredible player Ant is, and the Timberwolves are making a lot of noise.
Well, the cool thing about it was he dislocated his finger on his left hand, like his ring finger, and that was also due to contact with the head of John Collins, I think. And he just kind of like went in the locker room, popped it back into place, put some dirt on it, taped it up, went back out there, kept playing. Do you think that attention that he got from that dunk last night could get him some MVP votes? I mean, could this bump him up in the race at all?
You know, I'm not an MVP voter. I've never talked to an MVP voter personally, so I'm not sure what goes through their heads. But I do think like plays like that and moments like this, and I think it's worth mentioning, like with Karl Anthony Towns out, that this is a huge moment for Ant to like solidify his case for MVP. I don't know if he's necessarily gunning for that. They're more team oriented this year, but I do think though, like certain plays and certain moments in a season can really like define an MVP season for sure.
Well, and I still don't understand why he's not getting any MVP love. I mean, SGA gets all the MVP love, and his team's a half game up on Minnesota in the West. Oklahoma City's number one, Minnesota and Denver are tied at 47-21, a half game behind Oklahoma City. And then the Clippers are five back of OKC. So it's interesting that, you know, the seventh place Dallas Mavericks and Luka, you hear a lot more about Luka winning MVP than you do a guy like Ant Edwards. So it's pretty interesting stuff. I don't foresee Anthony coming out of nowhere and winning the MVP, but
yeah, I'm not calling for him to win. I just want to give him some love, at least a vote or two.
Give him a vote.
Yeah.
We weren't speaking of Atlanta. John Collins used to play for the Atlanta Hawks. So the Hawks, who are reeling with no Trae Young, no DeAndre Hunter, they just got Jalen Johnson back. They just got Onyeka Okongwu back. Get blown out of run out of the gym last night by the Lakers. Bron, AD, and D'Angelo Russell all had fat double doubles. And somehow a relatively healthy Nets team that I feel like is better than they are on paper than they are in real life. Like, why can't the Nets try to track down the Hawks and get into the playoffs? Right now, the Hawks just keep hanging on to that 10 spot, which means they're going to get another crappy draft pick and continue to be the Hawks. But I kind of thought the Nets might track them down. It's just not happening.
Yeah, I like the Nets team in theory. They just can't seem to figure it out. I think Mikal Bridges' struggles limits their ceiling a lot. So they're kind of just like grinding out games every night, and it's a struggle. Jalen Johnson was really the only bright spot for the Hawks last night, and then that ended when he left the game early. I saw a report that he returned to the Hawks bench, so he might have been able to return if it wasn't a 20-point blowout, like you said. So there's maybe some silver lining there. As for the Lakers, man, they're just hitting their stride, looking great They're looking good. They're looking like the team that made the Western Conference Finals last year. It's only a matter if they can stay healthy. Anthony Davis, LeBron playing a lot of games this year. I love the starting lineup of Russell, Reeves, Hachimura, James, and Davis. I don't know why it took them so long to get to that point. The Torian Prince experiment was odd, but the Lakers are hitting their stride, playing really well right now.
Good call on Jalen Johnson's ankle injury. I slept on that last night. I missed it. I actually kind of took the night off last night. I came home, picked my wife up at work, came home, and just kind of chilled and didn't watch much basketball, even though I've got these huge playoff matchups going on. I think I'm so stressed about trying to win this stupid 30-team league that I can't even watch anymore. So Jalen Johnson left with an ankle injury. He was back on the bench. Who knows if he could have come in and played. It's the same ankle that caused him to miss three games earlier in the month. So just keep that in mind. He's probably going to be iffy for the rest of the week. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
No Donovan Mitchell last night, right? So Caris LeVert comes out and starts 23-8-11. Steal a block and a three and a win over the Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton had 14 points and 12 assists, but he only hit 4 of 14 shots. First of all, LeVert should have been a hot pickup this week. They play four games, and not many teams do play four games, and it's playoffs week, and there's no Donovan Mitchell. I think LeVert is sneaky and is going to help a lot of people who picked him up. And then is Ty Halliburton losing some of his luster?
Starting with the Cavs, I love LeVert. I've always loved LeVert. I thought he was on his way to stardom with the Nets, and then he kind of got bounced around a little bit. He settled in nicely to this six-man role, but I don't think we can consider him a star by any means, maybe a star in his role. But I love when he gets increased playing time. I just love the way he plays. He's averaging 19-9. 6.5 steals in his 4 starts this year. That's really solid stuff when you lose a guy like Mitchell and you can bring in a dynamic player like LeVert. As for Halliburton, Wisconsin kid at heart, so I'm always going to be cheering for him I live in Wisconsin. Never played him in high school. He's a little too old for me, or too young for me, which is sad. He, ever since the All-Star break, he kind of like sold his soul to go off in that All-Star game. And then he couldn't even win MVP at home because Damian Lillard and Giannis kind of just stole the MVP from him. So it's very concerning. It's just the 3-point shot, really, though. He's still dishing out dimes and leading that offense, but they're just not as prolific as they were earlier in the season when they were leading basically every category offensively.
Yeah, and they're 5-5 out of their last 10. They're in 7th place in the East. They're behind the Sixers, who, despite not having Joel Embiid, just keep hanging around and keep getting it done. They're 5-5 over their last 10. The Magic are 8-2 over their last 10, which is the same as the Celtics. That Magic team is weird, man. Like, I don't understand how it's that good, but it is what it is. All right, so LeVert was a big pickup, I think, and props to you if you went and did that.
I got one more Cavalier. This might be like a super deep league special, but George Niang, since moving into the starting lineup March 6th, he's made 7 starts, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.5 stocks, shooting 55% from the field, and he's making 2.7 threes per game. That's like, we're talking like 16 team and over type play, but that's incredible production. And he's doing this obviously without Evan Mobley, Dean Wade. Cavaliers just went and picked up Marcus Morris too. He hit 4 threes last night, so that's kind of an interesting play. But there's a lot of opportunities in the power forward spot right now in Cleveland, and Niang is making hay with it right now.
Yeah, I know Kamla said we're forgetting about George Niang on Thursday when we were talking. And I sort of did forget about him. But I did notice he played well again last night. He's played okay. Him and this Taylor Hendricks guy and my guy Delano Batten.
Yeah.
Still kind of balling out. Like there's still plenty of silly season guys to mess with out there. So we had no Jason Tatum for the Celtics last night, right? Kristaps Porzingis graced us with his presence after a 5-game absence. Welcome back, Kristaps. I love the fact that Boston can just plant him on the bench for 5 games and nobody even really notices he's gone. Like, it doesn't even matter. No Tatum last night. Doesn't matter. Derek White's going to triple double 22, 10 and 10. Jaylen Brown's going to score 30, 31. And Peyton Pritchard, my starting lineup in my 30-team league, is going to go for 23 points and 7 assists. And Porzingis had 20 points and 8 boards. So, man, the Celtics, I still think the Celtics are the team to beat, but people seem to be pushing back at me on that. What do you think?
Yeah, this silly season Celtics are just as good as the regular season Celtics, man. Jrue Holiday was also out last night. Al Horford was also out last night. And Sam Hauser was also out last night. He had 30 points on Sunday, 10 threes. I had him I was about to pick him up in a deep, like, 16-team league. I'm in need of threes in a category league. And I had an offer put in for him, and then he sprained his ankle, and I was like, I can't trust that. But like you said, Pritchard, these guys, these bench guys for the Celtics, they're going to be in line for a lot of run these next couple weeks. The Celtics have essentially locked up the one seed, so I envision a lot of resting, a lot of blowouts if the starters do play. So Pritchard, I also picked him up in a deeper league last night, and I fist bumped when I saw that line when I came home from the gym. There's a lot of value to be had in these depth pieces, especially if the Celtics continue to, like, pseudo rest people down the stretch here.
Which they're going to. I mean, I'm sure they're like, okay, let's let Porzingis play against Detroit, and then we'll just put him back on the bench for 5 games and wait until the end of the season. Because
and he only played 20 minutes and he still put up a 20-point double-double nearly. Like, it's the efficiency that offense runs with is crazy. In terms of, like, competing, like you said, you still think they're the favorite and you're getting some pushback. All the stats say that they should be the favorite, and they probably are the favorite. For our, like, post All-Star break futures bets, I said Boston and Denver. I know I'm not really going out on a limb there, but I was getting Denver at, like, plus 450 to win the title, and they're just kind of flew under the radar a little bit. They weren't compete, like, really fighting for that one seed as Minnesota and OKC kind of, like, were shining early in the season. But Denver's great, and they are basically the same team, a little less depth, but, like, Peyton Watson is an incredible defender off the bench. So, like, I still like their depth this year. That starting lineup is so potent. I think the three real contenders in my eyes are the Nuggets, the Celtics, and the Bucks. I think after the Nuggets in the West, it's just kind of like a who can get hot, right? Like, the Lakers could get hot. The Warriors could get hot. Do I trust them to, like, get hot? Probably not. So I think those are the three real contenders, and I would probably put Boston and Denver ahead above the Bucks in that tier.
Are the Suns and Clippers going to get this figured out in time? Like, can they flip a light switch and go?
Dude, I'm yes, because they have those types of players that normally can flip the switch. You know, people say that can't happen, but in the NBA, there are some players that can do that. The Suns' fourth quarter issues are super concerning. You go out and get three guys, get a third guy like Bradley Beal, right? And you have those three so that your fourth quarters, you should be easy, right? You just pass the ball around. If they try to double KD, you get an open Bradley Beal in the corner, Grayson Allen in the corner. So the fourth quarter issues in Phoenix need to be figured out fast. If not, they're going to be gone in 5 or 6 games. I do think they can get hot though. And I do think the Clippers can get hot. But my confidence level is not high on either of those things happening.
Yeah. Clippers look so good there for a minute and now they don't. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think the playoffs are going to be fun. I have a pretty good feeling about that. Hey, March Madness fans, before we dive into the madness, we wanted to loop you in on one of our sponsors, Supported Intelligence. They've developed an AI tool called SmartBracket.io that could really help you when you are building your brackets. Think of SmartBracket.io as that one friend who always has the inside scoop. Thanks to something they call rapid recursive technology, it's like having a secret playbook for your March Madness picks, making your bracket a bit smarter while saving you a ton of time. If you love the game and your bracket could use a bit of an edge or a full-on strategy overhaul, SmartBracket.io is worth a peek. It's fun and easy to use while leveraging some brilliant AI technology. Might just give you those bragging rights you're after. With March Madness around the corner, like right around the corner, like Thursday, a little insight never hurt. When Selection Sunday starts, check out SmartBracket.io. Here's to enjoying the madness and making smarter choices along the way. Thank you, Supported Intelligence. Kieran, I run a really old school, imagine that, paper bracket pool here in my little town. And I think the first year we did it, we had like 11 entries. And last year there were 127, something like that. This year I think it's going to be over 150. Grading 150 brackets by hand sucks. But we're sort of locked in. I'm like, no Venmo, no PayPal. We're not doing this electronically. We're doing this old school. You got to sit down in the bar with your pen and fill out your bracket. And you got to hand me a $10 bill. I stick it all in an envelope and then I grade it. And I send out these really ridiculous emails at like 4 a.m. after every round that I try to get all the as many digs in as I can at my friends and make fun of people who don't really know I'm making fun of them. And it's a big hit. Everybody seems to like it.
I love that a lot. That brings me back to my high school days. I had a buddy who did the same sort of thing. His dad was a football coach. So we'd all go over to his house, like most weekends, have like hang out and whatever. And every March they like spring break, you know, first day of spring break, like that first Friday, we're all there hanging out. And there's just like a stack, like 150 brackets, and his dad's filling them all out. And then, you know, as we get closer to the Final Four, he like posts the brackets on like a whiteboard, like the ones that are still alive and stuff. So that brings me back to some good memories.
Yeah. And I'm going to make it really interesting this year, because I'm going to keep a little bit of the entry fee for my admin fee, because if we're at like 150 brackets, I think that's probably about 30 hours worth of work. And it's
at least
I'm walking around town carrying around this big folder like a total, you know, dork. And people are like, what is this guy doing over here? He's got 1,000 pieces of paper and highlighters. And but it's pretty fun. It's labor.
Classified information.
I do love it. And I love the fact that I don't watch any college basketball until like Thursday. Like that's when I'll turn it on and see what's happening. So playoff Jimmy Butler sits out the second game of a back to back, which means he sat out on Sunday. He sat out on Monday. Giannis sat out on Sunday. Like, what a brutal stretch for people who are trying to get into the fantasy playoffs and win the fantasy playoffs. Jimmy's got a foot injury. The back-to-backs for the Heat are over for the week. Is he going to play on Wednesday, and is he good to go the rest of the week? I mean, I don't know, man. Playoff Jimmy makes me nervous.
Yeah, it's anybody's guess now. He's missed back-to-back games. It's tough. I would lean to the side of not playing. You know, even his two games before his absences, he wasn't really playing like super efficient from the field. So it's tough. I would probably be looking elsewhere if I could. You know, obviously still have him on deck if he gets cleared and you can throw him in, but I would not be like relying on him at this moment.
Well, I told everybody to go get Duncan Robinson and fire him up for the week. And after he had 30 points and five triples on Sunday, and of course, he left last night's game with a back injury and 3 points. So I am sorry for that, if that got anybody. But there's not a lot you can do to foresee an injury coming to a guy like Duncan Robinson. Bam was better last night. 20 points, 13 boards, 6 assists. That's more like the Bam line that we've been waiting for. And then for the Sixers, Tyrese Maxey had 30 points, 8 boards, 10 assists. Like, that's a massive stat line, man. Steal, block, 3 threes. Kelly Oubre, 22 points, 11 boards, 5 blocks. You kidding me? Sixers have won 2 straight. They're still hanging at number 6 in the East. I kind of thought Kelly Oubre might go away when Maxey came back, but that's a hell of a stat line last night.
Yeah, starting off with the Heat, you know, Jaime Jaquez got the start again in place of Jimmy. He's been really good this year. He was not really good last night, especially in the final minute. The Heat had a chance to reclaim the lead. They gave the ball to him on back-to-back possessions, and he had, like, one little post-up, like, where he tried to draw a foul and, like, flailed and threw up an air ball. And then he had a wide-open three in the corner to make it a one-point game with, like, 35 seconds left and barely drew iron. So that was a bad showing from the Rook in a big moment where the Heat need to win a game like that. The Duncan Robinson thing, your process was right. He's been great. His connection with Bam is special. Whenever they're on the court together and in a situation like when a player like Butler is out, there's always value there. So the process was right there. The injury sucks. It is concerning, a back injury for a three-point shooter. That's not an easy thing to overcome. You need all your back muscles to get that elevation on that jump shot. So I don't know if he's going to be able to come back right away. You know, the direct replacement, you're like, is Patty Mills the answer? Probably not. He scored 13 points in his Heat debut, but has only scored 13 total points in 5 games after that. So, you know, I think Caleb Martin might be an option if Robinson and Butler stay out for a little bit. He can put up production off the bench. But the Butler injury is concerning, and I don't know if Robinson's coming back anytime soon. As for the Sixers, the Embiidless Sixers can be fun when Matt Oubre or Hield kind of like gets hot next to Maxey, right? Like those two are pretty volatile shooters. They can put up points in bunches though. So they're it's kind of a fun dynamic, but you need Maxey there to raise that floor because he is incredible. No matter who is on the floor, he does what he does. It also looked like Kyle Lowry had a little extra motivation last night against his former team. There's not many fantasy implications in that, but he looked wired up and he was running around making a lot of plays in a typical dirty game. Not like a dirty game, but like a ugly, low scoring, like in the trenches type of game. That's where Lowry thrives.
You just said Kyle Lowry and I blacked out for 30 seconds. Like, I don't remember the last 30 seconds of my life. It's interesting going back to the Heat and talking about Jaime Jaquez, because Jaime Jaquez has played such a major role for that team all year. He's not looked like a rookie. He's been a glue guy. He's been a guy they run the offense through. He's been a guy that is sort of involved in everything. But I feel like he may have hit some sort of wall in the last month, you know, since the All-Star break, because he's been mysteriously quiet. And it used to be like Jimmy Butler sits out, Jaime Jaquez goes off. And that's not really been the case lately. I could see him getting it back. I wouldn't give up on Jaime just yet, but he has not been quite as fun as he once was. But Oubre, I've still got Oubre on a team where I'm trying to win a championship, and that's super fun. I'll tell you what, I know people, there are certain people that watch this podcast that cringe when I start talking about my 30 team league. But as everybody knows, probably from Twitter, the final four in that league is me, Rick Kamla, who I podcast with here on Thursdays, my boss at ESPN, Joe, and Dan Besbris, who works with Aaron Brewski, who I worked with at the other Roto site for a very long time. Like all these guys, we're all like brothers. And we all want to win this league so bad. And we all have really good teams. And I've got Wemby. And Wemby on Sunday night just took over the world with that 30-point, 15, 7 blocks, 7 assists, whatever nonsense he put up that night, and knocked my boy Matt Smith out of the 30 deep. So we've got a Final Four going on that is pretty intense, and it's going to be tight and super fun. And so much fun, I can't even watch basketball anymore. I'm so nervous about it. Let's talk about DeAndre Ayton and the Portland Trailblazers for a second. You and I sat here last week. I think we were like, I think Ayton might be done. Or no, that was me and Camel the week before that. And now Ayton, 25-15, 2 blocks again. Anthony Simons, who were kind of waiting to be shut down, scores 30. Delano Banton, my guy, 11 points, 5 boards, 3 steals, 2 blocks. All that, and Portland lost to the Bulls. The Bulls got 28 points from DeRozan. They got 23 and 10 assists from DeSumo. Caruso's kind of hurting. He's 1 of 5 for 5 points. That helped DeSumo go crazy. And then Jeremy Grant did not play for the Blazers. Is Jeremy Grant gone? Is that done? Or is nobody shutting down this year and everybody's just going to keep playing until the end?
I would be surprised if Grant came back and played consistently. So, like, I'm not going to say he's going to be shut down for the entire season, but, you know, like playing 2 out of 4 games a week or something. He's missed a bunch of games in a row, and he's only played like 2 of the last 10 or something like that. So I'd be surprised if he came back and like actually made an impact in fantasy. I think Portland is really content seeing what they have for the future with the Simons, Henderson, Banton, Jabari Walker, and Ayton lineup. Ayton's been incredible. I don't know if you saw the Twitter explode last night about his, or maybe not last night, last afternoon, yesterday afternoon, about him sleeping on an air mattress to begin the season. And that's why he said that's why I probably wasn't as playing as well as I could have earlier in the season. So, you know, if he's got a bed now, if he's got a real bed, that 7-foot body's getting a full night's rest. Who knows? He's unstoppable.
Is DeAndre Ayton the weirdest guy in the NBA?
Close, but that is a high bar to cross, I feel like. Kai Jones is back in the NBA.
Well, what about let's figure this out. Hold on a second. What about Jordan Poole?
Jordan Poole is a strange man.
Okay, but Ayton's pushing the envelope, man. Like he's really giving me some good crazy vibes here, because you know, like I told whoever I was podcasting with that day, like I live in the mountains of Georgia, and I know if it's going to snow tonight, my car is not getting out of my driveway. Like, it's not happening. So I drive it to the top of my driveway and park it up in the street. And if we're really going to get extreme, I know my car is not going to make it out of my neighborhood, because I live in a place called Crown Mountain. I live literally on top of a mountain. So I know my car is not going to make it off this mountain if there's snow on the ground. So sometimes we have to go all the way and park it in town and then get a ride in a 4x4 to get out there to have access to a car. Now, if I'm just a average dude that covers fantasy sports for a living, and I can make these arrangements so that I have a car to get somewhere, why can't a millionaire that lives in Portland figure out that he should probably do something to get ready for a snow game tomorrow, other than just calling sick and say I couldn't get my car out of the driveway. And now we're sleeping on an air mattress. Dude, I'd rather sleep on my hardwood floor in my office than sleep on one of those air mattresses. So I don't know, man. I'm more power to DeAndre Ayton for doing odd things. I love it.
Yeah, he's in national news anytime he opens his mouth or anything happens. So it's pretty incredible.
I mean, he's a max player and he's always going to be. They can't take that away from him.
True.
So He's got that going for him, which means he's got a lot of money. That's funny, man. I missed that whole tweet yesterday. That whole Twitter storm about him sleeping on an air mattress to start the season. I love that. By the way, the last time I won 30 deep was 2011, and it was because I picked up Jeremy Lin, like literally the day before Lin's sanity happened. And that reminds me of Jeremy Lin because he was sleeping on like his buddy's couch at that time.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't even have a bed.
Crazy. So,
there you go. Okay, DeAndre Ayton. Thank you very much. Lauri Markkanen shockingly came back from a 5-game absence and started for the Jazz, right? He had 22 points and 12 boards. I had to like scramble to get him off my IR in one place. I literally forgot all about him. I thought he was done. He played well in his return. Taylor Hendricks, who has been a hot pickup, 8.6 boards, a steal and a block. So it was serviceable, but it wasn't as good as it would have been had Markkanen kept staying out. So Taylor Hendricks came out of nowhere on the waiver wire the last, you know, 5 games when Markkanen was sitting. By the time I went and got him, I feel like it's kind of too late, but I'm stuck with him now. It is what it is. Keontae George, he's going to ball out the rest of the way, I think. 15 points, 8 assists. And then there's Walker Kessler, who had 14 rebounds and maybe a couple blocks. I don't know what is going on with Walker Kessler. I was talking to my buddy Zach, who's got him on his team, and I was like, you got to get rid of Kessler, dude. He's like, I can't just cut Walker Kessler. You sort of could have. If you're good in blocks and rebounds, I mean, he literally does nothing else.
Totally. Starting with the Markkanen return, he did have 6 turnovers. Keontae George also had 6 turnovers, so a little inefficient. But I like the young core that the Jazz have. And I would include Walker Kessler in that core for right now. But his playing time has just been so sporadic. Obviously, if John Collins misses time, Hendricks and Kessler both get a little bit of a boost for the rest of the week. I don't know how long Collins will be out or if he'll miss any time. He initial concerns of a concussion, but those seem to have dissipated. They said he was cleared of concussion, just has like a head contusion. That still doesn't sound very fun, but he'll probably be able to suit up in a little bit. Keontae George, fantastic player. Super fun to watch. Puts up stats like crazy. 3-pointers, assists, can get some defensive stats. I really like Will Hardy as a coach. I hope that they can make some hay next year. It's just the whole Kessler thing all season has been concerning. And I think you're right. I think if you would have cut bait with Kessler months ago, you probably wouldn't have been like regretting it at any point in the season. But if you have him, if you still have him rostered right now, like, there's not like, I don't really know like what you're hoping for. You already know what you're getting, like inconsistent production. But when he does play 25 plus minutes, he's going to be double-digit boards, couple blocks every night.
And that's the thing. I don't really blame this on Walker Kessler. I mean, his minutes have just been so weird all year. And he was like a third or fourth round guy last year, and now he's like a 12th round guy. So huge disappointing season from Walker Kessler. But again, I don't really blame him. I don't think it's his fault. So, I'll get back to this head contusion, concussion for Collins. Like, dude, if you get your head caved in because a guy dunked on you, like that is like Ant didn't care, man. It's like John Collins was standing too close to a like rocket launcher or something out in the war zone. He got concussed by the I can't think of the word after you fire the thing off, but whatever.
The recoil
got him. But anyway, Colin Sexton had 24 points, Ant, by the way, his line was 32.7 boards, 8 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, and the dunk heard around the world. So it's funny, ESPN had that dunk up on their front page. It was like massive dunk by Anthony Edwards changes tone of game. And I never really click on stuff like that, but I clicked on that one and I watched it like probably 4 times in a row. And I was just like, wow, that goes up there with that. I mean, that's the offensive dunk and the defensive block of the year. Both belong to Anthony Edwards, who's getting no love for MVP.
And like I said earlier, I don't want to harp on the point too much, but Rudy Gobert was not playing in this game, and Naz Reid left early, and Karl Anthony Towns is still out. So Ant is like, he's making these highlights and putting up these numbers and carrying the Timberwolves to victory, and these top, and without his top sidekicks, you know.
Talk to me about Naz Reid. Did he get hurt?
Yeah, he didn't return. He played 17 minutes. He a head injury. I didn't really see what happened. So Luka Garza got some extra time. Nikhil Alexander Walker like started the second half. I'm not really sure what the likelihood of him missing extended time is, but I wouldn't be surprised if he missed a game or two.
I missed that one. For the Knicks, Jalen Brunson had 34.7 boards. Baller, great season. No MVP talk for him either. OG Anunoby suffers an elbow setback. Did not play last night. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis, who was on my son's bench, even though he's playing my morning jacket keyboardist, Bo Koster, in a playoff matchup in my rock and roll league. Trayce Jackson-Davis remains relevant. He had 19 points, 9 boards, 3 blocks on my son's bench. So I was like, dude, you can't be leaving people on your bench. It's playoffs. You got to set your lineup. He's like, I did. Like, but you didn't. Kids, I tell you.
Some people's kids. can Jackson Davis stay relevant? I think the short answer is yes, but not necessarily like uber productive while staying relevant. I think he'll be on the cusp of relevancy. Over his last 7 games, averaging 12 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, and 2 blocks, only playing 23 minutes. He made 2 starts during that stretch. As for last night, I watched a lot of this game because I have Brunson on 2 of my biggest leagues right now. So I was watching that game really closely, and like 2 or 3 times he like stepped awkwardly and stayed on the ground for an extra minute. And I was like, not now, Brunson, not now, come back. But he was fine. He finished the game strong. As for Jackson Davis production last night, though, I feel like this was a defensive strategy by the Knicks. They were hounding Curry on the ball screens and letting the roller slip to the basket and just daring them to make that pass over and over and over again. And while the Warriors did, they didn't do it every time. Jackson Davis probably could have had even more production. So I don't think 20 and 10 and 3 blocks is a fair expectation every night, but I do think 12 and 8 and a block is a pretty fair expectation for him moving forward. On the Knicks side, like I said, Brunson's unbelievable, carrying teams, single-handedly carrying a couple of my teams. Miles McBride, also known as Deuce McBride, made a pretty big impact last night. He drew the start for OG Anunoby over Precious Achiuwa, who was starting when Anunoby was out before. I don't know if that'll continue or if that was another just like Thibodeau decision going against Curry. You want to get another guard out there, save Brunson's legs on defense a little bit. So I wouldn't count on McBride staying in the starting lineup, but he's definitely someone to watch if you need guard help. His 3-point shot has been incredible this season, which was like one of the biggest concerns for him in his development. I don't think McBride is like a pickup in like a 14 team league or even a 16 team league at this point, but if he draws a couple more starts this week, he could definitely be a pickup for next week.
I mean, he's worth a look, dude. He hit 9 of 13 shots, 6 of 9 triples.
Yeah,
scored 29 points, and he played every minute of the first half. Him and Jason Hart both did.
Yeah. Thibs does not care about minutes at all. And so there's a lot of production there. The OG injury for the Knicks suck. They're 15-2 with him in the lineup, like flirting with 500 with him out of the lineup, I think. I don't know if they can like contend for like the Eastern Conference with him out of the lineup. So we'll see what happens there. I know they said that the initial thing is like he'll just miss a few games, but that could extend to 5 or 6 or 7 games really fast.
By the way, Josh Hart had a 10-11-11 triple double and played every second of the game. Tibbs cracks me up, man. Like, I saw some stat when I'm flipping channels last night and flipped by that game. And they said something like, it's the first time all season two teammates had played every minute of the first half together for any team. And then one of them played 47 minutes, the other played 48. So McBride got a 1 minute rest at the end of the game, probably. Hart played the whole thing. They beat the Warriors. Thibodeau just cracks me up, man. Josh Hart, best rebounding guard in the league, I think. And he's kind of been balling for the Knicks for a solid month now. So hopefully people are riding him.
Yeah, and there's no reason that'll slow down if Ananobi continues to miss time and Julius Randle is still nowhere near returning from the latest reports that we have.
Desmond Bane played again for the Grizzlies last night, scored 23 points. I'm shocked. I'm just shocked that Desmond Bane is back. And, you know, Cam and I were talking about it the other day, like the mindset has shifted. Like, I don't think the NBA general attitude of, well, we're done. We're not in the playoffs. Our season's over. I'm going to sit my studs. Something has changed. The mentality has changed. And now they're like, oh, get out there, Desmond. Get out there, Triple J. Just keep playing. People are paying money to see you play. So the fact that Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane are playing right now absolutely blows my mind.
Yeah, and I feel like they're kind of in the same boat as you because they were just chucking up shots. They both attempted like 25 shots, at least 25 shots or something like that. They weren't very efficient. But if they're going to be out there, they're going to be getting their shots up, trying to pad their stats a little bit as the season comes to a close. The Grizzlies were not very efficient, like I said last night, but they made up for it with defense. They had 13 steals and 7 blocks as a team. I'm going to give a little shout out to my guy, John Conchar. I hope that's how you say his name. I'm not really sure. I've never heard someone say it. He's got 8 steals over the last 3 games, and he's got 20 stocks over the last 8 steals over the last 3 games, 20 stocks over the last 8 games. That is a lot of production right there. We're talking Matisse Thybulle level of defensive production. He doesn't do much else. He grabs 6-7 boards a game, but there's not much offense there. But that defensive production is incredible. And with all of their injuries, and if you need some defensive streaming help in category leagues, that guy in a deeper league, that guy might be someone to look out for. Other than that, G.G. Jackson had another good game. He was like the only efficient Grizzly last night. But you, like you said, the mindset appears to have changed. I don't want to like completely put that all on the 65 game rule or whatever it is. But I feel like that has to be at least a factor or a variable in that conversation for sure.
Yep. And Zaire Williams sat out. Luke Kennard sat out for personal reasons. Vince Williams, my guy.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him for a while. Haven't been able to play him. So Bane, Conchar, G.G. Jackson, Santi Aldama, and Jaren Jackson Jr. all played at least 35 minutes for that team, man. Like, that is wild. Those are Thibodeau numbers. 39, 39, 44 for G.G. 44 minutes. They were all productive. There's Grizzlies out there to be had, and they're playing big minutes right now. Like you said, inefficiency was there. Jaren Jackson Jr. hit 8 of 27 shots. That's not good, but it is what it is. For the Kings, Domantas Sabonis, 25, 18, and 5. baller. Harry Barnes had 11 points. Keegan Murray had 15 points, 10 boards. De'Aaron Fox had 23, 7, and 10. Three steals, a block, six turnovers, four triples. Kevin Herter got hurt, left the game very, very early. And then Malik Monk went off again. 28 points, six boards, six assists. Is he locked up sixth man of the year?
I would have to lean yes. He has not started a game this year, which if I was a voter, I would feel like that is kind of important for me. I know there's a lot of six men that get a start when a starter is injured or something like that. But even when starters are injured, Monk comes off the bench and he plays that role and he plays it to perfection. He was incredible last night, scored 12 of the Kings 16 points in overtime. Had some big shots in the fourth quarter too. Like we were talking about with Ant, there's moments when moments in the season where voters can like be swayed, right? And in a game against the Grizzlies, like the Kings need to win this. It goes into overtime. The Kings lose this, it's bad news. And Monk was like, I got this, guys. So that's a moment where you can kind of sway some voters there. Sabonis, ho-hum, man. Just incredible stat lines. And you're just like, oh, yep, daily Sabonis line. I'm riding him in RotoWire goes to Vegas every year, and we did a draft there, and I'm in the Final Four two-week playoffs, right? So first round, and I have Sabonis and my opponent has Jokic. So as long as Sabonis can like kind of mitigate Jokic, I'm going to be really happy there, and got off to a great start. De'Aaron Fox had a flurry of threes in like the third quarter of last night's game. But other than that, he seemed kind of passive. I think he only finished with like 16 shots or something like that. And an overtime game for him is kind of surprising. Herter was really just like flat out bad. He was not making his three-pointers for like the last couple weeks. So the injury kind of just like shelves him for good. And then my guy to watch out for with that injury is Keon Ellis. He was already kind of stealing some minutes. He drew the start in the second half. Defensive production, three-point production. Probably not going to be a prolific player, especially with guys like Monk and Fox and Sabonis dominating everything. But Ellis could be a sneaky pickup if Herter has to miss the next week or two.
He had five blocks and a steal last night. So, yeah, Keon Ellis played 34 minutes. That is a guy worth keeping an eye on, especially with this Herter injury. So let's dive into some viewer comments and questions. Start off with a comment here just because this dude's fired up. David said, guys, in my playoff semifinals, 12-team NICAT, I have Ant, Sabonis, DeJounte, Josh Hart. I'm feeling good for the first day of the week. Well, good for you, man. That's awesome. It's fun. It's fun when your team is playing well and you have a good first night and you get out of the blocks on the right foot. Speaking of you're going up against Jokic, Wemby and Jokic were going against each other last Sunday in my 30-team matchup, and Jokic didn't shoot it that well. And then Wemby came out and went off, and Wemby got me past Jokic, and that's why I'm taking Wemby number one in all of my drafts next year. This is from Manila's Most Wanted. Guys, is Hero a drop on a two-week playoff game? Semifinals start this week. I think he is. I'm not messing with Tyler Hero.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Semifinals, playoffs, it's do or die mode. Maybe Hero comes back and somebody in the championship picks him up and you feel a little like, shouldn't have let him go. But you got to do what you got to do to move advance. And if he's taking up a roster spot that could be filled by someone who can give you production, you got to make the move.
All right, this is perfect. Christian says, morning, guys. I had to drop OG. Who's a good waiver wire pickup for me? We talked about Taylor Hendricks a little bit. He's hurt by the fact that Lauri Markkanen has come back. We just got done talking about a guy named Keon Ellis who had five blocks and a steal last night. It depends on who's available in your league. I mean, there are so many hot pickups out there. I feel like Caris LeVert is still a hot pickup. Kieran, you got any guys off the top of your head?
Well, yeah, I feel like because he said OG and then he was picking up Hendricks, he might need to fill a forward spot. And so, like, in that case, like, you know, I said George Niang earlier, that might be not a high ceiling guy, but a pretty high floor guy, especially with all those injuries in Cleveland. Hendricks, like you said, he's hurt by Markkanen coming back, but he could also, that could be mitigated by, I just totally lost it. There's another injury in the front court. So I would be fine.
John Collins.
Yeah. Obviously the injury. so like that could be, it could be mitigated there. So I wouldn't mind rolling with Hendricks. I think he could give you flirt with double-double production for the rest of the way.
And I think this is important too. Like, let's see. The New Orleans Pelicans still have four games left this week. They're the only one who has not burned one of their four yet. So, I mean, if you can pick up a Pelican and what's his name is hurt, right? Herb Jones.
Yep. He's still hurt.
Who could we pick up there?
He was listed probable for today though. So he'll probably play.
All right. But New Orleans still has four games left. So you can go out and get one of those. And then there's still a ton of teams that have three games left on their schedule this week. I mean, that's sort of what you want to do. You want to target somebody who still has a lot of games left. Caris LeVert still has three. Peyton Pritchard still has three. Amen Thompson still has three. If did he play last night? I don't even know. They didn't play last night. But a team like the Lakers only has two games left this week. And Memphis, who we just talked about, only has two games left this week. So I would target more like a three-game team when you're looking to make that replacement.
And you said you mentioned Rockets too. So like a guy like Jock Landale is probably still rolling around the waivers, and he's going to be seeing some extra run with Sengun out too.
Oh, this is a good question from Matt Carmody. You got to take a player off the IL. Who should he drop? Scoot Henderson, Danilo Banton, Paul Reed, or Onyeka Okongwu? That's tough, man. Who's the guy coming off the IL?
So Scoot is going to be inefficient. So if this is a category league, might be a little hesitant on him. But I if it's a point league, I'm not dropping Scoot right now. I think he's going to get a lot of run the last couple weeks. I feel like it would have to probably – oh, head-to-head points league. Okay, sorry. So, yeah, I'm not dropping Scoot or Banton in a points league right now. The only thing that concerns me with them is their efficiency at this point. So it's between Reed and Okongwu. Onyeka returned last night. I think he was pretty limited off the bench.
Yeah.
So I would probably lean with him at this point. Reed just has – a higher upside than Okongwu at this point because of the Embiid injury. So I'm probably rolling with Onyeka.
I'm with you. I'm dropping Onyeka. I'm keeping Reed.
Yeah.
Is Justin Champagne an ad? This is from Old Yeast. Is Justin Champagne an ad in the ESPN points leagues?
So the Wizards injury report is substantial right now. They have quickly caught up with the Trailblazers and the Grizzlies.
Are you talking about the Spurs or the Wizards?
This is Justin, I think. So it's he's
the other Champagne.
Yeah. So this is the Wizard guy.
Yeah.
The Spurs Champagne, I'm probably fine staying away from. The Wizards Champagne, actually back-to-back games with double figures, at least seven boards. He's got three steals and three blocks during that stretch. And this, I'm just going to read off the Wizards injury list right now. Marvin Bagley is out. Landry Shamet is out. Denny Avdija is out. Omar Rui is out. Tyus Jones is out. Koulibaly is out for the season. Isaiah Livers is out for the season. Kuzma didn't show up on the initial injury report yesterday, but then is now listed as questionable. So, I feel like Justin is a fine pickup right now.
That's quality information. You will not get that on very many other podcasts, especially when I'm sitting here thinking it's the dude that plays for the Spurs when it's actually his brother that plays for the Wizards. So good information right there. I know I'm missing Denny Avdija right now.
Yeah.
And Yeah, Wizards are banged up, man. Torre Thompson was able to pick up Chris Middleton and Desmond Bane off waivers a few weeks ago. I wouldn't have probably done that. Maybe I would give you Middleton. I just had no faith in Bane. So, yeah, I don't know what the expectations should be, but, I mean, you should be happy you got both of them. They're both playing. They're both getting minutes. They're both good players. And I think it's a smooth move by you to go do that.
Yeah, it's looking like a great play right now. Middleton probably won't be eclipsing 30 minutes anytime soon, but when he's on the court, they're going to rely on his offense. And Giannis has been dealing with a knee and an Achilles issue, so he might get some days off, which means more shots for Middleton. So expectations going forward, probably some inefficient scoring as they get back to full strength. But as long as they're healthy, throw them in their lineup. Those are great waiver wire pickups at this point in the season if they're
playing. Yeah, they really are. They really are. All right, Kieran, we did it. We might do this again next Tuesday. I might just lock you in for Tuesday the rest of the way because there aren't that many left. We're winding this thing down. Thanks to Smart Bracket. Check that out when you're filling out your brackets today and tomorrow. You got to get those things in by Thursday at noon. Don't forget. And Cam and I will be back here. I think we got a time change. I think we're doing it Wednesday night at 9 p.m. instead of Thursday at 11 because we got stuff going on Thursday morning. So we'll see you on Wednesday night at 9. The replay will be up, obviously. And again, Kieran, thanks for stopping by, and we will see y'all soon.
See you later. Talk to you soon. It was a pleasure.
Go Ant. Ant for MVP.